Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you are an awesome God, and we certainly are not going to give up. We're not going to give in, my God, to the things of the world, but we're going to trust in you. Doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter, Lord, what we go through. We're going to trust in you. We're not going to give up. We're not going to give in. And we realize that this world that we're living in, we're a part of a family. And everything that happens around us, the things that we do for people and with people, God, is all a part of a family affair. But Lord, in our family affairs, we're going to certainly believe in you and know that you're going to take us through. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 or 5, and it says this, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And then God encouraged him to say, listen, Cain, man, why are you angry? Why do you have a countenance about you that you show an appearance of angry attitude? If you do right, you will be respected. But if not, sin lies at your door, Cain. I was reading this scripture here because really this is as a result of what's going on within the family. One of the reasons why Cain is actually angry or developed the attitude of anger is because that's what Adam and Eve let out of the box. You see, the parents have a great impact on the way that the children think. You might think today, well, no, these children, they don't even think nothing like we did yesterday's or yesteryears. But in essence, they do. It's just that it has mutated to become what it has become in the way of thinking of the children. Because when I think back, my mother and my father, they got on our case about the way we dressed. They got on our case about the way we did our hair. Got on our cases about the way that we did certain things in life. But what has happened over time, and really, when you look at it, their parents did the same thing. Every generation seems to get worse than the prior generation. And now it's like we're at a point where I don't know how bad it can get. That's just the way it is, but it can get worse than it is today. But the reason that Cain and even Abel are the way that they are, because there is some good in us and there is some evil in each generation. In every man, woman, boy, and girl, there's good and bad. And so therefore, when they reproduce something that is good and something that is bad. Good in Abel, bad in Cain. And Cain began to reflect some of the bad things about Adam and Eve because they let the cat out of the bag. They opened up Pandora's box by partaking of the fruit that God told them not to partake of. And Satan actually was the man, as you might say, that used the tools that he had to get them to the point that they would even rebel against God. In fact, he used the tool of enticement, which means to tempt, and persuasion, which means to urge us on. He urged Eve to go and partake of that fruit, and he enticed her by saying, look how beautiful that fruit is. God don't want you to become like he is. He doesn't want you to become wise. He doesn't want you to know and understand the things of the universe. Not knowing, in Eve's heart, she didn't even realize that what he was doing, he was setting her up for the biggest fall of a lifetime. And so that's for we have those. Now, along with those tools, we understand that Satan used these tools basically in three major areas of our lives. He used them concerning things that are spiritual. He used them concerning things that are emotional. And he used them concerning things that are physical. And it's amazing how they work so well with him. And the reason that he uses those same tools of enticement and persuasion today is because he knows that if it worked once, it'll work again, and it'll work. If it works a second time, it'll work 1,000 times and 1,000,000 times and even 1 billion times. And therefore, you and I are tempted in the very same way that Adam and Eve were tempted. And when we fall for it, in essence, we create problems within our families. And this is what happened with Cain and Abel. Just want to share some things with you concerning the family and the definition that Webster gave. Webster said that the family is the parents and their children. They are relatives. They are part of all of those who descended from a common lineage. And lastly, A family is a group of related things. And if you look at that definition, you'll see that you came from a parent, some parents. You'll see that you are part of a particular lineage. The reason that you are the color that you are is because you came from the lineage of whoever is black. Or perhaps there's a mixture in there. The reason that some of us are lighter than others and others are darker than others. But we come from a particular lineage and we are really related in things. The reason that you are part of the family of God is because you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Therefore, you are part of the family of Christians or the family of Christ-like people. Now, in this, and I see that with the story of Adam and Eve and talking about the family and how it is, God began to show me something. Maybe it was just a light that went off in my heart and mind that showed me the difference between what Adam and Eve went through and what Abraham and Isaac went through. Because, you know, in past, we've talked about being tempted, and we as well have talked about being tested. And for a long time, I struggled with God. How do I know if I'm being tempted as opposed to being tested? And God simply said, it's easy. When we are tempted, we are moved or urged or enticed to do things that we really want to do anyway. Because our bodies, our senses, and our spirituality is lined up with things that Satan wants us to do. And so therefore, he makes an appeal. So when you are tempted, judge it by this way as to whether you think that you are being tempted or not. Is it something that you just want to do anyway? And if you fall for it, you have gotten tempted. See, Eve was interested in partaking of the fruit because it looked good to her. And it was appealing. And she thought that it was something to make her wise. So partaking of the fruit wasn't a hard problem for her. I want to do it anyway. But when we are tested, Delon, God says, it ain't going to appeal to you at all. But it's something to make you be elevated to the next stage. How many in this room like the idea of going to take the driver's license test if you're at that point? How many of you that are in school, even elementary school, like the idea that the teacher's saying, I'm going to give you a test this coming Friday, and you better be prepared for it? But if the teacher said, well, you know, I'm going to tempt you with something. Everybody that will come to class tomorrow, this week, I'm going to buy them a pizza. I'm going to give them an apple. Everybody in class will be falling up in class because it's something that they want to partake of. So really, as I see it now, God never tempts us. I won't say he never does. But as far as temptation is concerned, it's the things that we want to do. But when God tests us, it's something that we don't want to do. But he sees a need for us to do it anyway. And I use the example with Sarah, an example with Isaac and Abraham. The Bible says that he was tempted, but in actuality, he was really tested to see whether he will do God's will or not. And so therefore, God told Abraham, I want you to give your son as a sacrifice, as an offering unto me. Now, in your mind, do you think that's what he wanted to do? No. The reason that he didn't want to do it was because God was testing him to see if he would be obedient to God. But at the same time, he knew that he didn't want to do it. So that just kind of struck me. And I just wanted to make mention of that. Because, see, James says this. James 1 and 4 says that a man is tempted when he is enticed and drawn by his own lust. So whatever you lust after is going to be easy for you to be tempted after those same kind of things. Now, let's get back to Cain and Abel and the things that we deal with concerning the Bible on what happens to the families. It was amazing. I mentioned this a little bit last week, that when the parents fall, when the parents get over into things that they ought not to get over into, it really has a great impact on the children. By Adam and Eve doing what they should not have done, they now have affected their whole lineage that's to come after them. And we see it especially with Cain. Because of what Cain did, Cain, number one, in Genesis chapter 4, says that he brought an offering unto God. And said Abel brought an offering too, but the offering that Abel brought was the firstlings of the flock, giving the 10% first as it was. And as well, it said it was the fat thereof. I mean, God, I'm going to give you the best. But how many of us, even this day and time, say, God, if I got anything left over, I'll give it to you. And if, by the way, God, there are some potatoes I got, and I'm going to give you the scroniest potatoes, and I'm going to keep the best ones for myself. We do that even when we are blessing other people. We tend not to give the best, but we give the leftovers. That's why you have organizations like Salvation Army and Goodwill that have plenty of clothes they can give away. For the most part, it's the clothes that people don't really want. Very few people will go out and buy a brand new suit and say, I'm going to take it to Goodwill. Our human nature says, let's give the worst of what we have and hold the best to ourselves. Just the way we are. I'm that way, you're that way, everybody in this world, for the most part, is that way. And so Cain brought a lame sacrifice into God. Let me say this to you. It was the very first example or instance of a man trying to get into false religion. He didn't want to do it his way. And when we don't want to do it God's way, we will create our own religion, because our own religion will allow us to do it any way we want to. There are religions out there that will allow people to do anything they want to do. They can have orgies. They can have all the drugs that they want, smoke all the marijuana that they want. They can do it any kind of way that they want to, because it's man's religion. And man's religion will allow you to do that. That's what Cain was doing. He was the first man to set up a false religion. Genesis 4:8, and if you could read that, it says that, and he had a situation with his brother Abel, and he killed his brother Abel. Cain, who came from Adam, was the very first criminal that walked the land, the very first murderer of the human race. And it goes a little bit farther than that, because see, what happened is that, remember when I said that the parents will reproduce something that is kind of like them, but in some sense it'll be worse? Well, Cain, the Bible talks about Cain having a lineage of people of his own, because God ran him out of where Adam was and pressed him over into a land that he had to start his own family. I'm going to answer this question for you. You might say, well, where did Cain get his wife from? Well, he got his wife from his sisters. And that's why I say when Adam and Eve had a child, and they said, and she said, Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. What had happened? She began to have girls before she had boys. And after she had a boy, she said, oh, God, now I finally got a woman. A man. Because I've been having girls all of this time. And so when Cain left, he went into another land. He had to take one of his sisters to be his wife. And that's strange and crazy when you think about it. But then that was just the way God set it up. And at some point in time, God intervened and said, you cannot have relationship with your sisters anymore. You got to keep it straight and make sure it's somebody that ain't your first cousin, your second cousin, perhaps as much as the third or fourth cousin is the closest that we ought to be involved with relationships with our kinships. But for that period of time, he had to do it. Now, what I was going to say about Cain is this. In Cain's situation, he confessed this to his wife. Well, let me say this about Cain and his great-great-grandson. He had a great-great-grandson named Lamech. And Lamech said, went out. He wasn't satisfied with one woman. He was satisfied with two women. So now you have a man that not only was the first criminal in the earth, that has a great-great-great-grandson that's the first polygamist in the earth. And I would imagine that these two women weren't satisfied with being a part of this one man's life. And so, therefore, the downward trail of what's happened with the human race is continuing to spiral out of place. Here's another thing about Lamech. Lamech did the same thing that his great-great-grandfather did, and that was he murdered a man. And so now the sins are culminating and getting worse and worse and worse as time goes on, is because with the family affairs that goes on, if we don't watch over the things that we put into the land, it'll produce a worse land than what we started out with. Adam and Eve produce sin in the world. They produce goodness in the world, but the sin will eventually get out of control. In Genesis chapter 11, we see man's first attempt to reach heaven, because they built the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel was to reach up into the heavens. And in essence, They could never have gotten to heaven, but it shows the thinking of man. In essence, they were trying to get to heaven in their own way, by their own means, by their own ideologies, and it never works with God. God, Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and except a man come through and by me, he can never get to heaven. And so here it is, the first example of the whole human race at that time that was trying to reach God by their own means. In essence, this is what they were saying. God, we don't need you to get to heaven. We'll get there on our own. And many of us, even today, try to do the very same thing. God, I don't need Jesus. I'll get to heaven on my own. Because God, surely I can do enough work. God, surely I can give enough monies. I can do all of these great things to get me to heaven. I don't need Jesus. God, I really don't need you. And so, in a sense, it's kind of like the first of different things that took place. In Genesis chapter 19, if you want to turn there, you can, but you don't have to. I'm going to explain the story about a particular man that even came after Abraham. It was Abraham's nephew named Lot. And Lot found himself over in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities, I should say, of Sodom and Gomorrah. And with Lot, he found himself in a city that was full of homosexuals. And instead of Lot really trying to change his environment, and you and I have to be careful about that, instead of us changing our environment, we allow the environment to change us. Because it's still all a family affair. The brother that's even on the outside of these doors that doesn't know Jesus Christ is a part of my family, the human race. And I ought to try to impact him. I think about what my sister Bridget said. And she said, hey, if we just, each one of us just reach one person to try to change them and help them, it can make a difference even in Enjoy Ministries. It can make a difference in the world. It can make a difference in Christianity because we're doing our part to change the world and not allowing the world to change us. But in this particular case here, it's the first example of sexual perversion. And God had to take a drastic move on that particular incident and wipe the whole cities out that was in that area. And it is said that that's where the Dead Sea is, because the Dead Sea has a lot of salt contents. And in that salt contents, of course, we think about the fire and Lot's wife looking back and turning into a pillar of salt. It was like fire and brimstone came down and planted itself like an atomic bomb and wiped those cities out that was in the desert. But it was the first attempt for a man to pervert what God had made really precious in his sight. And it hadn't stopped since then. Even today, we have the same kind of stuff that goes on. And I want to say this to anybody that may be caught up in that kind of life. I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. I'm just urging anybody that have a tendency to go in that line. Remember, you're being tempted by the devil because it might be something that you want to do, but come out of it. Pull yourself out of that, because it is something that will kill you, and it will kill you fast. It is something that will bring down the judgment of God upon you. And I say this in a loving way, because some people think that they're born that way. But let's face it, we're not born that way. We're either born one way or another. It doesn't matter if I have female tendencies. I'm still a man. It doesn't matter if I have long, beautiful hair like a girl does. I'm still a man. Because I was born that way. It doesn't matter for the ladies. If you got short hair, I remember growing up in school, and it was one girl, her hair just never did grow long, but she still was a female. And there are some women that, you know, that just different. It's just the dominance of what parent came out in us. The reason I'm short is because my parents were short, but then I got some tall brothers, and it's the dominant trait that came out in them. They grew to be taller. They told me it was because I was leftovers that I didn't grow. I can handle that, no problem. And so in Genesis chapter 19, but see, it gets worse because, see, after that particular incident happened, Lot and his two girls left that city and they ran and they ended up finding themselves in the cave. And in Genesis chapter 20, it shows us that they got their father drunk, and when they got their father drunk, they did something that there's a no-no to it. It was the first example of incest taking place. And when incest took place between Lot and his two daughters, an older one and a younger one, they had two children. and the two children that they had created the nation of the Moabites and the Ammonites. And if you know a little bit of history about the Moabites and the Ammonites, they ended up being some of the fiercest enemies of Israel, who was the lineage of Abraham. Isn't it unique as to how it is that we can grow up and be related to somebody and still hate them, fight them, and all of that? That's because it's really a family affair. And things happen in our families that ought not to happen in our families, and it produces problems along the way that ought not to be produced. And therefore, it is important for you and I as parents, and I speak this especially to us men, that we are to be careful as to what comes out in our households and how and what goes on in our household, because you may not realize it, but sometimes the things that we do that we think is just a little small thing, it won't hurt nothing, it ends up producing something big later on that can really ruin the whole family. There are things that are in my family right now that is shameful to even speak of. When I say my family, I'm talking about my mother and father's family line, my sisters and brothers' family line, all of that. But see, it started out small, no big thing. But then later on, it gets to be something big and out of control. And that's what's happening to the earth and the human beings in the earth. And so now we have a situation from the first chapter to the 20th chapter. We see all the problems that are in the earth now, homosexuality, perversion of things, murder, theft, false religion, and all of that that's going on in the world. And it started out because of Adam and Eve. It's a family affair. And we deal with it even today. And it hadn't gotten better. It ain't going to get better. You have more of what I just named in the world. And you have worser aggressions of it in the world. I mean, to think about it, some of the sins that I just mentioned, they just don't happen. They happen in a vulgar sense. Robbery just doesn't happen where somebody stick you up. Now a guy rob you, take your money, and then shoot you. It gets worse, and every generation produces a worse person for whatever reason. And as I was mentioning about, not only does a small thing, some of the things we do, and they start out small, but let me say this, and I'm speaking especially to the men as to how we are to look over our household and protect it in some sort of way, because that's the way God made us. You might think that, well, if I'm not planning on having any more children, that means I can't produce any more bad stuff. But it's something strange about children, wherein even if you don't produce a bad child, the one that you already got, if you don't watch it, gets out of hand. Because not only must we watch what we reproduce, but we have to attend to that which we've already produced. I'm thankful to God, and I believe in my heart of hearts that our children that we have, if they get out of line, of course, is according to their own will, but we have and you have impacted your children to some great extent that it's keeping them in line with wherever they are in line. And it has an impact upon them because they are part of your family. Now, that doesn't mean that simply because you might have a child that's really kind of messed it up that you didn't do the right thing. No, when it boils down to it, all of us still got our own will. And so what my mother, even at the age of 80, if she was living, might tell me to do at 50, I still do what I want to do. And if it's bad, it's just bad. If it's good, it's good. But at least she taught me what was the right thing to do. And we have to teach our children. And we have to line them up the right way. We have to reprimand them when they're down here and not try to do it when they're up there. We have to do things that are good in their sight, in front of them, and not do dirty, filthy stuff in their sight, because they're going to pick it up just like that. Because like I say, it's what they want to do anyway. The earth, without some proper correction and proper law to live by, would mess it up big time and would go all out of its way to do it bad. But the law, as the Bible tells us, we're to bind them around our neck. And in closing, I want to say this. When you think about God and when you think about the fathers of the house, you might think to yourself, well, you know, it's kind of gotten out of hand. And there ain't nothing that can be done about it. But really, as always, the father has the answer if the father is answering it the right way. With Adam and Eve, God did not give up on them. He had the answer to them. He restored them. Because when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. And again, fig leaves are just an illusion to what we think is right. It's a figment of your imagination if you think that God can't see your sin. Figuratively speaking, they were covered by these leaves. And so, no, God can't see my private parts now. Figuratively speaking, a figment of their imagination. But the thing about it is that the Father always sees through the stuff that's going on in his house if he pays attention to it. And that's one of the problems that we have today. There are too many men that aren't paying attention to their children. They aren't paying attention to their neighborhood. They aren't paying attention to their community. They walk about the land and they aren't paying attention to the nations because they think that the nation's problem belongs just to the president and to the Congress and the representatives that are up there, when really the problem is in our hand. That's why we vote. And I encourage all of you to vote for the man or the woman of your choice. It is your right that you have, because some people have died for that. But the thing about it is that you might think that one little small thing that you do can't change, but the Father can always restore, because God went out and he killed evidently some sheep or lamb, I believe, and it says that he covered them because they were naked. It's one way to be covered by my own righteousness. There's another way or another thing to be covered by God's righteousness. Because not only does God hide my nakedness, but now, God, there are things in my heart that you're hiding too, or that you're covering, that needs covering. There are things, Lord, that I think in my mind that needs covering. And I can't do it with these leaves that I'm putting on me, because the leaves one day are going to deteriorate, they're going to rot, they're going to dry up, and then my nakedness is exposed again. God says that I know how to do it so that nobody will ever have to know what you're involved in if you're willing to come out of it, Adam and Eve. There are things in your life that don't even have to reproduce itself if you just follow after me. And so I say this, the Father can always restore. If you have some things going on in your life, or if you have some things that you just need forgiveness of, the Father can restore. You might say, well, what does that have to do with you as a father? Because as a father, I know that there are things that my son or my daughter might be tempted to do, and I can herd them off and say, listen, here's the right way to go. Don't do this. Stay out of that. And if they'll listen to me, they'll stay out of a lot of trouble that they may get into. They will be in a position where their lives won't get messed up. But the other part to it is this. Even if they mess it up, like God, the Father has the capacity or the willingness, if he choose, to say, son or my daughter, I know you messed it up, but I'm going to cover you with my love. And I'm going to look at you as the daughter or as the son that I just love, and there's nothing greater than the love that I can give. And so maybe you do need picking up off the floor. Maybe you need brushing off. I can do it. I'm the father. And that's not to negate the woman, because I got something concerning the woman for next week. But I just say this to us men, and it puts us on the spot here, that we can step up. We can do things to protect our house and cover our house that even the woman can't do. And we see examples of it all across the land. We see that a woman can't raise children up as well as they ought to in a lot of cases without a man. It needs a man. It's a sad thing when we have men that walk around and they got children, infants or babies, I should say, and they don't even protect. They don't even give to the woman that they may have had a child, even if the child is out of wedlock. Still, man, it's my seed. I'm going to do what I need to do to bless my children. And even if it ain't my child and I'm married to their mother, I'm going to do what I can do to help that child, because I'm the father that's in this house, and I'm going to do the right thing. That's right. Too many people don't do it that way. Because it's really a family affair. What I do in my household, you might think it's just within my four walls, but no, it affects the guy that lives up the street. It affects the guy that lives across town. It affects the whole community. And we see it day in and day out. The police got to carry guns. They have to fight crime. And they have to do all of those things because the family hasn't really grabbed the idea that it's really our affair and we ought to be involved in it. I want to say this last thing, and it's in reference to what I've heard about how different families are. We all know how the different, like the Hispanics, the Italians, the Jews, and all of them, they tend to stick together. They buy from themselves, from each other. They raise each other up in the community and support one another. And it's a sad thing, and I'm talking to an totally black congregation, I believe, but it said that at the PTA meetings, very few parents show up at the PTA meetings to see what's going on in their children's lives or in school and their grades. But when you look around, you see the others, they be there. It's a family affair. We have to make sure to take care of our own families. We cast aside those that are too old to what we look at as being something that can benefit society. We cast off the youngest, the babies. We abort them, and we kick them to the curb and don't raise them up right. And God is saying, don't do that. It's a family. It's all a family. When you hurt, I hurt. When I hurt, I'm hoping you hurt too, because I don't want all the pain. It'd be nice to spread it around a little bit, ministership. But just keep that in mind. It's a family affair and what we're all going through. And I just want to speak those words because really it's a major impact that we can make in this world. It's just that we may not be trying hard enough. Father, in Jesus' name, bless this word, Lord, and bless the heart of this word that it'll move us to at least do what we ought to do, whether we feel like it or not. Move us to pass the test and not fall to the temptation. And I thank you, God, that you're a mighty God. You're a wonderful God in all of your ways, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I believe.